Okay, this hour we're going to take your phone calls with Josh Peck as we talk about parallel universes. That's just amazing stuff. Next hour, of course, our dear friend, Mr. Warren, Joshua P. Warren, joins us. A lot of Joshes tonight on the show talking about hauntings. But we'll get into Josh Peck when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Josh Peck with us, co-author of the book Abaddon Ascending, which of course deals with much more than what you've been hearing about coming out of CERN, of course, because he deals with, and Tom Horn as well, spiritual warfare, physics, the supernatural. You've got it all included in this, Josh.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, we do. We took a lot of time to put it together, to do it right, and yeah, I'm happy with how it came out.
Are you concerned about CERN?
Yeah, to a certain extent I am. I mean, you know, my main thing, I don't want to live in fear, and I don't want other people to live in fear. So even though we're talking about some alarming things and things that we should keep an eye on and we should not be ignorant of, I wouldn't want people to live in fear over that. And there are people out there, I think this is an important point too, because there are people out there who will make claims about CERN, put out articles, things like that, to get people scared. And I think that's why it's important to be, you know, good researchers, you know, listen to good shows like Coast to Coast or shows like this, where people are going to get a good solid dose of what's really out there. I've seen this a lot in Facebook, and people will, in other social media, people will contact me and ask me, you know, I read this article today. It says that CERN is going to create a black hole or has created a black hole. And, you know, what are we going to do about this? And some people are legitimately afraid of that. And, you know, I gently try to say, well, the science just isn't there for that. You know, there's no real evidence of it. And a lot of those articles are just clickbait, you know, because if you click on the article, then you get a bunch of ads and that's how they get paid. And I mean, I don't have any problem with people, you know, making money off of advertisements. I do the same thing. But when people use fear and just frankly, just bad research to do that, I think that's a problem. So it's a good idea to be, you know, well researched and to have some unbiased information. That's what we try to do with Abaddon Ascending. So yes, I'm concerned a little bit. But I don't live in fear over it. I just try to learn as much as I can about it, in case there does come a day where I or people like me might have a say in what goes on, or at the very least, maybe we can see something coming before it actually happens and prepare for it at that time. So again, it's something that we should keep our eye on, but nothing that we absolutely need to live in fear over.
When they were developing the atomic bomb, Josh, they were concerned that when they detonated it to test it, that they were going to ignite the atmosphere and destroy the planet. They were petrified that that was a possibility.
And they did it anyway.
So it kind of reminds me of CERN. And one of the things about CERN, it's out of sight, out of mind to many, many people. And when something like that is like that, you don't think about it every day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it was designed that way. I think that that whoever wants to keep these things at least partially secret, unless people want to, you know, really research this stuff and look it up. And again, the information is public. It's just we live in a world where, you know, like you said, we're not going to think about CERN or quantum physics every day. And we also live in a world that that tells people or leads people to believe that the general public is too stupid to understand any of this stuff. And I believe that's a lie. I don't think the general public is stupid at all. I think that we all have access to this stuff. We all can understand it just fine. And I think once we look at it through that lens, then we can be better prepared and we can understand some of this stuff more. And also through that understanding, a lot of that fear will subside, but we'll be able to be more prepared.
I think so, too. Let's take some calls here for you for the rest of this hour.
Sure.
We'll pick it up by going to George in Phoenix. Hey, George. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Good evening, George. Yes, long-time listeners, second or third-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
My thing is on time travel and et cetera. With CERN, I was worried about when they bombard those particles around that big collider. If they did find the God particle, it'd be all over with. We'd have another Big Bang Theory. But what I was really calling you about is a week ago Friday, this coming Friday, which is almost here, I had a doctor's appointment, which I went down in my chair. I have an electric wheelchair about 3 miles from where I live. And I sat around the doctor's office for about 3 hours, and I got bored, went outside. And I woke up about 7 hours later, about 9 miles from where I should have been, not having a foggiest notion how I got there or where I was, and the wheelchair batteries were dead. And it's just one of those experiences where you say, this can't happen, but it did.
It did.
You know, it completely bombed Michael.
It's like you went through a portal.
That's what I was thinking, either a portal or, you know, an abduction or something. I just don't know. I don't have no memory whatsoever.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I definitely do believe you, George. I believe that. I've heard similar encounters with other people, and actually, things like that are possible in physics. There's this idea that these bends in space-time occur naturally, and that sometimes we might go through them. Now, that experience would be so shocking to us because we're not extra-dimensional ourselves, at least not as far as we can tell. Our perception isn't. So if something like that were to happen, if we enter in a portal to a higher dimension, even if only briefly, we could come out the other end hours later, but we wouldn't have a real solid memory of that event. So you're definitely not alone, and I believe that that stuff does happen, and if quantum physics is true, and I believe it is, I believe that it's likely to happen. So you're definitely not alone.
Josh, I had a call once during one of our open lines, one of the most bizarre calls I've ever had, where he was talking about how he and his family were in a car, and all of a sudden they were about ready to go head-on into another car. And he said, George, there was no way we were going to survive this accident. I mean, they were coming right at us. We had no place to go. It was collision time all the way. And just at the moment of impact, he said, I went right through their car and came out the other end. And they kept driving, and we just kept going. And he said, I cannot figure it out. I don't know what happened. It was impossible. But I said, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I've heard similar stories too. And I remember when I the first time I heard a story like that was before I knew anything about quantum physics. And I thought, wow, that is really cool. And it's unique. You know, you don't hear that every day. And usually when stories like that are super unique and really descriptive, I tend to believe them even more. But in quantum physics, what's happening there is basically a dimensional shift. It's a folding over. Let's say we have a piece of paper. You know, that's our two-dimensional universe. Now, if I were to fold that paper, you could traverse the space between two points on either side of the paper a lot faster. You could also crumple the paper. You could tear the paper. You could do a lot of different things. But you can – now, actual space isn't paper because it's not solid, you know. So in actual space, if you bend it, you can have – parts of one space and parts of another space essentially occupy the same area without having to interact. And I think that's what's happening there. These weird natural, and I think this just naturally happens, these weird bends in space-time. But, and this is why I believe accounts like that. I don't believe that everybody in the world is going to study quantum physics enough to describe it in a way to make it up to where it sounds, convincing. When I hear these stories, these people, they don't have a background in quantum physics, and that's fine. You know, we shouldn't expect them to. But they describe it in a way that a quantum physicist would if he were trying to explain how this type of effect would look if it happened in the real world. You know, if space were to fold in on itself, you would have that same type of effect. So I totally believe it. I think that stuff does happen, and you know, I think quantum physics gives us some more answers as to how.
As George was speculating from Phoenix, could CERN create a Big Bang by accident?
Well, they're actually the nickname of the Large Hadron Collider is the Big Bang Machine because
every
time that they collide a particle, they're now this is on a quantum scale, an extremely small scale, but they're essentially recreating, in their words, they're recreating what the Big Bang would have been like, the very first milliseconds of the universe. So essentially, yeah, but it's not on a, you know, it's not on a large scale. You know, our universe is quite large, and they're working with very small particles. But on a quantum scale, yeah, that's basically what's happening.
Next up, let's go to Spontane in Northwest Georgia on the wildcard line. Hello there. Good morning.
Good evening, Mr. I guess it would be morning for you, Mr. Norrie.
It would.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. And Josh, I love the way that you're helping us deal with our fears. Okay.
Oh, thank
that
you.
Really
I appreciate
that. That really is great. I'm an intuitive. I will never be a quantum physicist. It's not going to happen. Okay. And as an intuitive, I was born in the mid-50s, and ever since my earliest memories, I have had extremely negative feelings about anything to do with nuclear or the destruction of an atom. So I want to take you down a what-if path.
Sure.
Okay? What if each atom has an integrity to it for a reason? What if the integrity of all atoms are part of the intentional shielding that was put in place by the creator, or whatever you want to call it, the Tao, whatever, in order to protect us from these other dimensions? And what if all of us intuitives are having this fear reaction because it is something? Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-progress.
Sure.
I'm very much into scientific exploration. But at the same time, all I can go by are these negative gut feelings. Please calm me down.
Well, the good thing is that CERN, at least right now, and at least as far as we know, the LHC isn't doing anything that doesn't happen naturally, at least somewhere in the universe. Usually cosmic rays coming into our atmosphere will have a similar effect. But you do bring up a really, really good point, and that's that atoms do have a structural integrity. Now, at the LHC, they're colliding protons, and a proton is just a piece of an atom. That's all it is. They're colliding protons, but an atom in itself, it's made up of protons, neutrons, electrons, and various forces are involved. Now, there is one thing that has some physicists, I don't even know if worried is the right answer.
Concerned?
Concerned, that's a good one. It's the idea of quantum fluctuations in unstable fields, or at least fields that are on the knife's edge of a certain energy level, such as the Higgs field. The Higgs field is at what is called a non-zero resting rate, and that's just a big fancy term that just means when the field is at rest, it still has energy, and that's all that means. And most fields, when they're at rest, they have zero energy. The Higgs field, for some reason, nobody knows why, but it's different. It has a positive amount of energy. Now, the consequence of this is that it's at such an energy that if it were altered just a little bit, it could fly into super energy, and the Higgs field could, in a sense, energize. And all it would take is a little quantum fluctuation somewhere in the universe for this to happen. And if people are interested in a lot of information about this, they can look up a physicist named Joe Licken at Fermilab, and he actually did a whole presentation on YouTube about this. But essentially, if that were to happen, our atoms would interact so much with the Higgs field that they would essentially pick up so much mass that every atom in our body would become a black hole. So not a good scenario. But the good news to that is, even though technically, and again, this is physicists speak, it could happen at any time, all the projections, all the mathematical equations that they do say it would probably take billions and billions of years for that to ever happen. But it's still possible. So there's a couple of different ways to look at it. I don't know if that's helped calm you down at all or just made it worse, but hopefully that helps.
Let's go east now. Lyman is in Richmond, Virginia. Lyman, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello again.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking my call. This is just so fascinating, a conversation.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Josh and George, my concern is... We're all everything is subjective, and words are so tricky to use. I think we sometimes don't understand what we're doing when we use words. But my concern is everything is subjective, basically. How do I know what's outside and inside? If I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and where are you located?
Crane, Missouri.
Well?
Crane, Missouri.
Crane, Missouri. How do you know I'm in Richmond? I am in your brain. But I cannot be in two places at the same time. I've thought about this for many, many years.
I thought about that too. And really, the simple answer is there's just no way to know for sure. Interestingly enough, there's actually evidence to show that you could just be in my brain because I could just be in yours. Actually, particles, quantum particles, have the ability to be in more than one place at one time, the same particle. So it's really weird. Now, we don't see that on the macro scale, but it's still possible statistically that could happen, that these weird things could happen, because they do happen frequently on a quantum scale. So yeah, I'm right there with you. That stuff trips me out too.
How do you explain deja vu?
Oh man, that's something I've thought a lot about. You know, there might be the closest I can get to it. What if we have three-dimensional perception? You know, we can perceive three dimensions of space and one of time. But what if there's actually more to us than that? What if we actually were extra-dimensional beings? Yeah, but we didn't know it because we have a limited perception. Say you have the flat universe. You know, now let's say that there are entities on that universe that are two-dimensional. They have left, right, forward, backward, but there's no up or down. So they only have a two-dimensional perspective. Everything they see is just a flat line in front of them. But what if that, and let's call it a flatlander, that's actually a classic physics example of explaining higher dimensions, but what if that flatlander were actually, instead of being, say, a square, what if it actually was a cube, but it didn't know it, because the only thing about it that was two-dimensional is its perception?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder that often, and I often wonder if that might explain what the soul or the spirit is. Now, going even further than that, what if there's a piece of us that's even outside of time, you know, outside of dimensionality, outside of space, outside of time, even, in what we might call eternity? You know, infinity is a long expanse of time, a never-ending expanse of time. Eternity, on the other hand, is a state of timelessness, no time whatsoever, outside of time. What if we have a piece of ourselves that's outside of time and we're able to observe inside of time, even though here we're not conscious of it, but there we are? That might be, and I know that is a head trip if anything is, but if there's any validity to that, that might result in things like deja vu and things like that.
It very well could be. Stick around. We're going to come back with final phone calls with Josh Peck as we talk about all things mysterious on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Joshua P. Warren joins us. We're going to talk about hauntings, so get ready for that. But when we come back, we will take final phone calls with Josh Peck as we talk about his work investigating CERN. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast and back with Josh Peck again. Josh, this is an amazing series of work you've done with Tom Horn. It really is.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Did you have any concerns, I love using that word when we talk about CERN, when you were starting to investigate these things and you talked about the portals and the possibility of wormholes and all these other things, did you see any red flags that popped up in your work and in your investigation that kind of pushed you in the direction that this isn't everything that we are being told?
Oh, yeah. And especially in the terms and things that are used in that they release to the public, you know, I mean, even just talking about portals at all. But when it comes to the specifics, when they have to explain something in the media, all of a sudden, they don't use words like portals anymore. Now they're using really technical terms. And what I've realized in just learning how that language works is when there's something that might be controversial or something that somebody might want hidden, that's when all these big fancy terms come out. And actually, just the whole field of the whole study of quantum field theory, that's never really been popularized. And actually, Dr. Sean Carroll, He's even went on record and admitted that physicists just won't talk about it to the public. He's one of the only ones that does, and that's why I like him so much. But they genuinely just won't talk to the public. We're led to believe that the world and reality is made of particles, and somehow if you get down to the fundamental reality of that, then you come you come across particles that aren't made of anything. Now, how does that make any sense? You know, they'll say that like a photon, the particle of light, it's called an elementary particle, which means it's a particle that isn't made of anything. But again, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, when you factor in quantum field theory, which says, well, particles aren't exactly real. Particles are just what we see because we have a limited perception. The real reality is a lot richer. It's a lot closer to waves. It's little packets of energy almost. Now it begins to make more sense how something can be, and it's not even that it's made of nothing, it's made of energy, but it's made of nothing in the physical solid sense. So yeah, when things like that are in a sense covered up over all these big technical terms that nobody's really going to want to try to figure out, I think that's when they hide the true stuff. And that's what we try to bring out in our books and everything. And again, it's just it's a matter of translating a different language, you know, physicist talk. But yeah, there was a lot of red flags that came up, and most of it was in those terms. It's like what we talked about before with artificial intelligence and corticons and the ability to actually manipulate somebody's consciousness, if that is. If that is what consciousness is. So, sure, there have been a lot of red flags, and still, as my research continues and as Tom's research continues, there's even more red flags that we're going to be talking about in the future. So, absolutely.
Quantum technology, what exactly is that?
Well, basically, quantum technology is just technology based on quantum concepts. For example, we talked a little bit about this, so I'll use this as an example. Certain particles, like photons, they have the ability to communicate at faster than light speeds, which shouldn't be possible. When you affect one, if there's two photons that are entangled, you affect one photon, or you do something to one photon, you can see the effect in the other, even if it's miles and miles away. But it's absolutely instantaneous, faster than light, and that's not supposed to be possible. The only way I can reconcile it is if it's something extra-dimensional, if somehow these photons are utilizing extra dimensions to communicate. So without fully understanding the consequences of something like quantum entanglement, they are developing technology in quantum computers that utilize quantum entanglement, which one of the consequences is, I mean, you would have computers that are processing at faster than light speeds, which, you know, it sounds like that would be pretty good.
Sure.
And it very well could be. But then again, we're also, if it is utilizing extra dimensions, anytime we send an email or anytime we have any kind of communication, we might be sending that stuff into an extra dimension, into a higher dimension, into higher realities where maybe some kind of entities exist and can get a hold of that information. Now, whether that would be good or bad, who knows? But still, it's something to think about, especially when thinking about this graviton communication system that physicists have talked about wanting to develop at places like CERN to communicate with these beings anyway. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that.
CC, Long Island, New York, is with us now. Go ahead, CC.
Hi, I wanted to talk about Brookhaven Labs, which also on Long Island, which also has a hydro collider.
All right.
And the history of Operation Paperclip, the scientists arriving there, and very nefarious projects going on from the Phoenix start, Montauk Project, MKUltra, currently HARP and chemtrails. I can sense it. And they also have weather manipulation going on, the radio towers for space communication, plasma weaponry. There's one theory that it took down the towers or helped take down the towers, and the three plane crashes tied to it, which would be firstly the Swiss Air Flight 111, which took down, coincidentally, two of their top scientists from Brookhaven Labs. They were killed. Then we had Flight 800, which people thought that a weapon from Brookhaven took that down, and then also Egypt Air, which they say a satellite shows it taking it down. And it's also one of the top five targets for Russia. There's a lot going on there. It's very, and I could sense it. I could sense the waves and the whole aura of it, the energy. It's very much like a vortex that, unfortunately, I was sucked into. So is that possible with all this energy that it could be magnetic towards you and make bad things happen and you're getting sucked into the hole? This is what I want to ask Josh.
And Josh, what do you think?
Cause wormholes, black holes, dangerous, you know, other dimensions where evil can come out of it and our scientists can get sucked into it, which I heard happened at CERN, et cetera. Sorry, it's bad.
All right, let's find out. Josh, have you heard about Brookhaven?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And that's actually one of the shocking things, too, is that there are particle colliders similar to the LHC at CERN here in America. There's quite a few of them. But, yeah, there's a lot of reports that around these areas people are noticing strange, anomalous effects. Now, of course, nobody can prove that it's connected to CERN. But, again, is it just coincidence? You know, I don't think so. So I do believe that that's definitely possible that you can have these strange effects when you're essentially messing with the fabric of reality. You know, that's got to come out in some way. So sure, I think that's possible.
Scary times ahead. CC, thanks. California now. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, you there?
Yes, I've always believed that the Hadron Collider had more intense, sinister purposes behind it other than just observing or studying particles in the air or space dust or stars and all that. You know, I've always firmly held the belief that whatever it is these scientists are researching has more to do with opening and exploring interdimensional realms and studying the effects of how their experiments react with certain contacted humans here on Earth or special individuals here, you know, who can communicate in real time and in the various linguistic languages that only that particular person who has been contacted can comprehend, understand, or decipher. But my question is this, Mr. Pack, do you believe that these special projects or programs like the multi-billion-dollar CERN Hadron Collider program is actually meant for the benefit of all mankind, that is humankind, or do you believe that these portals or gateways are actually designed for the genetically engineered reptilian clones that, you know, wander amongst us to venture into and onto the Earth? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Sure. Well, I do believe that, and I write about this in the book, I do believe that 99% of the people working at CERN and involved with CERN, they're in it because they genuinely want to know more about reality. And I believe 99% of the people involved in it don't mean any harm to anybody, and they're trying to better mankind and better the world. But the more that I looked into this, and Tom would agree, the more that we both looked into this, there seems to be, I don't really know what to call them, maybe a shadow type of governing body that's pulling the strings, deciding which experiments are going to happen, how it's going to be presented to the public. And I don't believe that most of the physicists that work at CERN would even be aware of this. But the certain experiments that they're trying to do, especially this big push to open a portal, and the language that's used when describing that to the public, because when they describe the portals, they use really simple language that anyone can understand. So
right.
They know how to talk to the public. But again, I think we're in this state of soft disclosure, CERN is just one cog of the wheel, but I think that we're in this state of soft disclosure over the world, especially here in America, where they're getting us used to the idea. So we're getting used to the idea of portals, and we're getting used to the idea of extra-dimensional entities. But go ahead.
No, nobody said anything.
Oh, sorry about that. I thought somebody was asking something. My apologies. But
oh, boy, we're going to have to cart you away, Josh.
Yeah. just to finish my thought real quick, I do believe, but when people start asking specific questions and start really trying to get to the heart of the matter, that's when all this really technical language comes out. So I do believe something is still being hidden. And I believe that there's a certain percentage involved that has a plan for when this is going to be released. Now, whether it's going to be for good or for bad, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But a lot of the things that Tom and I bring up in Abaddon Ascending is, again, concerning, to say the least.
Well, let me tell you what's also disconcerting, and that is they're not holding news conferences anymore, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
In the beginning, they did. They made it kind of exciting. Now they've gone cloak and dagger. They're not announcing anything anymore. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's right. The last really big announcement was the Higgs boson in 2012. And I don't know if just the way the media covered it, maybe that made them, maybe that annoyed them to the point where they just said, well, you know, just we won't deal with the media anymore. Or, you know, it's a big question mark on why that was, because there have been a lot of things discovered since then. There have been pentaquarks and, you know, a lot of things that, like, I keep a blog and I talk about this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you got to really dig to find out this stuff. It's not covered in the major media. So it might even be that people just aren't interested in it, or they've just gotten used to it and they don't find it as alarming or as exciting even when a new piece of reality is discovered. But I know for me, it excites me. I think that's some of the most fascinating things, you know, in the world.
Let's go to Steve in Valley Township, Pennsylvania, on the Wild Card Line. Hi, Steven. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? Tonight?
Good, Steve.
Doing great.
Enjoying the show.
Perfect.
Now, I'd like your view on mind control.
Ah.
I've practiced this for over 40 years now. And I was mentored for 2 years before I could actually go on my own to do this. But the way that I perceive the world, and these are all relevant terms that I'm using right now.
Sure.
I see the world not only through my two physical eyes, but also through my mind's eye. And once you are able to link your mind and your body together, your physical body, you have this ability to see into different dimensions or realities, whatever you want to call them. But you have to focus in a direct, straight line, so to speak. You got to link to the center. And off to the sides, this is through your mind's eye, what you see while perceiving through your physical eyes. What I see through my mind's eye is a multitude of different scenes. Like, it's kind of hard to explain, but I can see like different paths that I would follow and the results of them actions. And through the years, I found that if you direct basically in a straight line, it's like an alignment. That is the correct path to follow.
Some people are trained to do stuff like that, Josh.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And like what we were talking about before, if we truly are extra-dimensional in nature, you know, if we actually do have, you know, a spirit, soul, we could even call it a mind, or, you know, something that's outside of physicality, outside of just our flesh and bone body, we should expect certain things like that. I mean, all throughout history, we've had prophets and people who have been able to even see angels and communicate with them, communicate with God, or and we see that in every culture. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, as a matter of fact, my December 23rd show, which is a Friday night before Christmas Eve and Christmas, which is going to be on the weekends this year, will deal with miracles. And I am so convinced we will have stories that will just chill you. They're so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things are out there. Charles in Elgin, Texas. Let's get you in here. Charles, go ahead.
All right, great. Real quick. I've been thinking that reality really consoling for me, and I think for a lot of people, when you think about the reality as being kind of a, you know, woven from, you know, what I guess the first quantum physicist, Max Planck, called the consciousness. But I think for human souls, I think another way to look at it is reality is sort of woven out of infinite love, you know. I mean, in other words, for us to perceive it even as souls, it has to be, you know, woven out of what you might call love.
All right, Josh, there's one thing you haven't talked a lot about, and that is the soul in relationship to any of this. Any effect there?
Well, you know, like the caller said, I apologize, I missed your name, but like the caller
Charles,
said, you know,
Charles.
Woven out of love. I really like that. I really like that, and I believe that myself. And actually, I'm glad that you brought up Max Planck, too, because he was a famous physicist who actually showed that there's boundaries to reality. You can only get so small before you can't get any smaller. You can only get so big before you can't get any bigger in reality. So our little slice of reality or whatever's out there, it's not all there is. So I definitely do believe in a soul. I believe in a spirit, a soul. I believe in God. And I believe that spiritual existence is even far more richer than our physical existence. We just don't have the natural perception to, you know, really get our minds around it. But I also do believe that when we leave this world, that we'd have the ability at that point.
As the clock ticks, Josh, would you give people your website, how they can get a hold of you, your blog, and listen to your programs?
Absolutely, George. And again, thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'd love to have you back again, too.
Oh, I'd love to come back on. This has been a blast. But if people are interested in getting Abaddon Ascending, go to skywatchtv.com, and if you get it there, you'll actually get $400 worth of other materials and books and things relating to this. It's a phenomenal deal. It's for a limited time. It's the only time that Skywatch has ever done anything to this magnitude. So I would suggest getting it there. Now, my personal website is sharpeningreport.com, and that's basically the central hub for everything Josh Peck. And the Sharpening Report is a show that I created. It's hosted by my good friends Jake Rahutsky and James DeWitt. And they can find that on YouTube, youtube.com/sharpening.
Josh, thank you so much. And again, we'll get you to the website by linking up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Joshua P. Warren joins us with more Hauntings.